Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. We are on episode 199 today, and this is session 2 with Kelsey. You met her in the last 2 weeks. This is the first part of session 2, and that's because coaching calls are an hour, and in order for the interest of the podcast, we're cutting them up into 2 parts just so the episodes aren't too long in your earbuds. If you've got any questions about any of this, reach out to me. If you want to send messages to Kelsey, email me and I will get them to her. As you can see, she and I have been in communication. So when you're coaching, a lot of times it feels sometimes like you're alone and you can only catch up once a week. That's not something that I'm interested in, and especially in Kelsey's, in her kind of coaching trajectory, it's not something that I want. So I do have regular touch points with her. She's been emailing me every day. And as you will be able to hear, she's been rocking it. She's been working so hard, and I'm so proud of her. Okay, so here we go. Here's session 2 with Kelsey. Kelsey, welcome back. You have been busy in this past week.
Have I ever?
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling really great, actually.
You went through and did everything on your homework. And so, first off, is it annoying to be told what to do and do homework, or did you like that?
I think I like having like someone else to hold me accountable for it and okay. Like writing it down. And so I think I like homework.
Okay. Good to know. Okay. So I shared my screen with you, and this is your vision board. Have you ever made a vision board before?
I have never made one before.
Okay. But in the past call, you said you've wanted to.
Yeah, I've seen them in the past, especially on Pinterest and stuff, and I've wanted to, but I've never done it for myself.
Okay. Why do you think?
Probably just like lack of supplies. I always thought, oh, well, I don't have a color, like I would have to get magazines and I would have to do this and I don't have a color printer, but I made it work with black and white. I think it looks fabulous.
I do too. I really do. Okay. Let's, since this is audio and not visual, walk through. How did you get started and why did you pick the images that you picked?
So I relied on Pinterest a lot, and I went in there and I put black and white, slow living, peaceful, and then my keywords, which were travel and health and family. And I found pictures that just pertained to me and that spoke to me. And I used a lot of shadow pictures so that it wasn't as like personal, because I didn't want like other people all over it. It's about me, right? So do you want me to explain what's on it?
Yeah. And I wonder how you started. Like, did you start in the middle or did you start from the top? Did you print everything out first and then paste, or what was your process?
So I went on and I saved a bunch of photos, and then I printed out all of the photos that meant the most to me, and then I kind of arranged them all on there. I put a few pieces of paper underneath to just give it some color. There's a little bit of gold in it, but it's mostly black and white. I actually went to the store and tried to look for magazines, but I couldn't find something that really spoke to me. So these pictures, I've got a lot of like reading, and I started in the middle with it says Vision Board 2025, and it's got a lot of quotes, and I've got a little section for kind of each part of what I love. So at the top, it's mostly reading, and I've got a picture of travel. There's something that says, put your phone down and do anything else. I've got some, oh, out the window of an airplane. And then you go further down, and there's make or more self-love and talk a little nicer to yourself today. And my favorite one, there's a little boat at the edge of a cliff, and it says, be brave. And below that, there's pictures of wellness like meditation and running and yoga. And then one of my favorite corners is, it says, just do the dang thing. And it says, 5 o'clock, wake up, rise and shine. I've got a no smoking sign in my journal. And then my absolute favorite section, which is my family section. And I've got a picture of, my favorite picture in the whole thing is the back of a woman, and she's got her two little boys sitting beside her, and it's just cartoon style. And there's a picture of like a man and a woman standing together, but the man is a watering can and the woman is a bouquet of flowers. And I feel like Ryan fills me up so much all the time with his compassion. So I felt like that really described us. And then I also bought one pack of stickers. That's all I purchased for this, was one pack of stickers. And surprisingly, they really fit well into everything.
They really did.
Yeah.
Where'd the stickers come from?
Walmart.
Walmart. No, I love this and I like the black and white. It's so aesthetically pleasing. And you wrote in your pre-call worksheet that you've been looking at it every day. So where is this in your home?
It is in my bedroom, right on, like, below my TV, kind of on my entertainment unit. And that's where I do all my morning stretching and my morning journaling. So as I'm sitting there on my yoga mat doing my stretching, I'm looking at it and I'm referencing it when I do my journaling.
Well, good. I'm glad that it was a beneficial exercise for you, and I'm glad that you're enjoying it and using it and aren't ashamed in some way. Sometimes when people do a vision board, they don't want it where anyone else can see it and they feel shamed by it, so they hide it.
My in-laws came over the day that I was making it, and I like put a piece of paper over what I was working on because I was like, oh, there's like some stuff on here, and I'm like felt weird about it. But then when it was done, I was like, nah, this is beautiful. I'd show anybody this.
And that's okay. I mean, it makes sense to have some boundaries with your in-laws and different things. I had a vision board once hanging in my master bathroom, and we had a party, and the other bathroom, I guess, was filled. So a friend went in to my master, and then she started writing all over my vision board, and she thought it was funny, but I guess it bugged me.
I would be devastated if somebody wrote on this. I spent hours on this. Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm glad it was beneficial. Okay. So, what were your other wins? You had so much in 1 week.
Well, one of my wins, it kind of went back to kind of my fail, which you said you mentioned to look in the mirror, but you never wrote it on the list.
I
So I was like,
didn't.
I'm not doing it. I'm off the hook. But I did. I looked in the mirror just at my face a few times, and I'm noticing with all of my morning routine and my wellness that I've been trying to work on, I'm seeing a difference in my face and my body. And that feels like to finally see that, and it feels really nice.
Okay, so what do you mean? Do you mean that you're thinking kinder thoughts about yourself and you see that reflected, or do you think like physically your face has actually changed?
Both. So I can see physically my face has changed, like my cheeks are less puffy, and from drinking water, I've definitely like my face is leaned out. But also with listening to so many of the I don't know if I'm saying it right, binaural beats, that has shut down my automatic negative thoughts. And without having so much of those constantly, when I'm walking by the mirror, usually it's like, like, oh God, don't look over there. My stomach's sticking out. I can see the back of my arm. I'm just like, ugh. But now I'm walking by and I'm like looking and I was like, hey, you know what? Like, my hair doesn't look too bad today. My double chin, it's not as doubly. Like, it's. I'm doing
Wow.
okay. It looks, I look a little bit different and I feel different about myself.
Wow. That's wonderful and lovely. And I'm proud of you for recognizing the internal changes that you're making and that it's reflecting. And I know you and I have chatted every day because you did follow that part of the homework also and checked in with me. And I cautioned you a little bit about a honeymoon period. What was your thought on that?
I feel that it's a honeymoon period. I do. Like I can tell that this is all, but that's novelty. Novelty is always something that's really driven me. My son is the same way. If you keep it interesting and new, we'll stay on it forever. But it's the like over time I give up. So I know that this week coming, and I even wrote it in there, I know it's not going to be a honeymoon one because we're going to be getting more serious about the cannabis smoking and I've seen that that's a real issue, so.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that. What is it an avoidance technique? Is it a numbing out? You have fear about not doing it.
Right, yeah, I definitely feel a lot of anxiety when I know I can't. So I last time I was on, I had a little bit of a cold. I'm sure my voice sounds a little different now and better, but then it developed into like a really nasty cough, and I was like, I can't be smoking with this nasty cough, and I like freaked out inside. I'm like, not smoking tonight? That's what am I gonna do with myself? Like, that's really stressful. And Ryan's trying to figure out what's for dinner, and I'm just like, ah, thinking about it and. It was not a good night, and it was very eye-opening because, yeah, it's definitely a numbing technique. And I wrote down in my notes, when I'm high, I don't show up for myself. I use it as an excuse to make bad choices and self-sabotage.
Wow. Okay. So that's pretty insightful that you know this about yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So what would the next baby step be to make that not necessarily? So you've written down a few different things, and I know you're closing the kitchen at 8, and you have a lot of wins, a lot of wins already just in 1 week. What would it feel like to not make a huge drastic change from this week to the next and just maintain or dissipate just a little bit? I'm worried. I don't want you to do huge sweeping things and declarations.
Well, I feel like it would definitely be. Like it almost feels like a little bit easy, like I'm doing all of this and it's like, oh, this isn't so hard. I feel like I'm getting away with it. That's what it feels like. And just being honest, like I feel like, oh, I'm doing it and I'm getting away with it because I'm doing all the things right. And I feel like if I went next week just doing the same things and maintaining them, like I feel like I'm getting away with something because it's just been a little bit easy.
Okay. Do you think life needs to be difficult?
I think with my anxiety, like I definitely search for, like, it's almost my body wants to be in that difficult discomfort because it feels like I'm not making progress if it's not difficult or uncomfortable.
Yet you made a whole bunch of progress in 1 week and it was easy.
Yeah.
What would it feel like to let go of the rules that you've created for yourself that things have to be hard or difficult?
I feel like I've been trying to just, and that's the being kind to myself. I've been trying to alleviate some of that, but it's just so like ingrained that if it's change and if you're doing better, then it should be hard. It should be difficult. There should be suffering, I guess.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. Okay. What's your background and your upbringing when it comes to suffering? Like, what was school a challenge? And just different aspects of your life, like no pain, no gain kind of things, was that instilled in you?
I feel like that's just my parents' generation, you know? Like, and even Ryan, he does stuff like that. He's like, "Oh, well, I had it hard and my parents had it hard, so I have to have it hard." And school was not too difficult. I was pretty good with the academics. I think it was more the social situations, but
Are you annoyed by people who have had easy lives?
not anymore. No, I used to be. It used to be like, oh, I'm working so hard. But you know what? When I went for a walk this morning and I saw a lady look at me in her car and it almost seemed like she had the face like, oh, must be nice. And I'm like, you know what? I woke up at 5 and I earned this. You know
You
what I
did,
mean?
yeah.
Like, I do this for myself. Yeah, it is nice because I did it for myself.
Okay. So that phrase, it must be nice, is a pretty loaded phrase. And you're right. People use it flippantly to be very dismissive of other people. Like, oh, and it's true. I mean, some people are not able-bodied and cannot go for an early morning walk and that type of thing. But I also know that that's not what you're talking about right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think exploring the and doing some journaling on why things must be difficult, or in order to get ahead, it's got to be hard. I want you to think about that. And then also think about people in your real life and then also people that maybe you just know from TV or something like that who are doing things well and how it seems to be somewhat easy for them, and see if you can just kind of get a little bit of a slice of, oh, okay, I get it. Like maybe some people are naturally more athletic, so it comes easy to them to go for a run, whereas for you it might be hard, but do you begrudge them an athletic build? Probably not. No. Yeah, probably not. Yeah, so speaking of athletic build and running, I only asked you to download the app, the Couch to 5K app, and you did so, and then you wrote in, but now you want to open it and use it.
Yeah, I did run a baby bit this morning. I've got this nasty cough still, right? So I've been taking it easy on myself and just doing my morning walk. But this morning, and I was looking and it was straight in front of me, I was like, I'm just gonna try for a second. And I did it. I did it for probably, well, it was like 20 seconds tops, and I
Sure.
was dying after. But
Okay.
it was, I did it.
Are you in a suburban neighborhood when you're running?
Yeah, I do it through my subdivision.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, you first off, the app, it is interesting because it puts you on a program, and since you do like rules, you might really like that. But doing things like, okay, I'm at a green car and I'm gonna run just to that black car. It totally counts. And that's interval training. Yeah. So it's funny. I can see your face and I can already see you thinking, well, running 2 car lengths is not enough, Steph. That's stupid.
Well, I mean, it's gonna eventually get better, right? So
Yeah.
I
Okay.
gotta get
So
those two
you
car lengths first.
definitely have an all or nothing type mindset.
Yes, very black and white thinking.
Okay. Have you been that way for as long as you can remember?
It used to be worse. I used to, that's a big reason why I gave up on a lot of my eating plans before and exercise plans is because if I didn't do it one time, then oh, well, I screwed it up and I guess I'm not doing it anymore.
Okay. Okay. So the idea of a 30-day challenge taking 45 days, how does that feel for you?
Because then it won't go in the whole month. I like to do like a July challenge. And if I didn't get it done, I'm like, come on, you know, like I don't want that to bleed into August. I got new goals for August. So yeah, I don't, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Okay. Would you be proud of yourself in September if July's challenge lasted until August 10th, but you look back when you're in September or October and you feel accomplished?
Yeah, I'd like to accomplish it in the end.
Okay. But if it takes longer, would it really matter when you're looking back on it?
No, as long as I got it done, really.
Okay. So when you have that, I might as well give up because I've already slipped a little bit. So this comes with eating, this comes with the cannabis, and this comes with any sort of goal. What can you do? What can you do to kind of interrupt that pattern?
Well, I like your gold star idea. And I mean, I have extra stickers now. So to look at the calendar and be like, you know what? I succeeded a lot of these days. And I'm making progress towards it. It may have not been a great day today, but it's still progress.
Okay, so you're marking off the days you've done something on a calendar. Is that right?
I'm mostly marking off the days that I've messed up something. So what I do is I write it in a note in my phone, and then I have my goals, and then below that I add in like a day. If I'm having a hard day, I will add in like say the other day when I accidentally, well, not accidentally, I have to take ownership of it, when I ate my dessert at 8:15 because I had gone rollerblading with the family. So
Okay.
I
Whoa. Okay. All right. Yeah, we do need to cut yourself some grace. So you're being annoyed that you ate until 8:15 instead of 8, and that was just some rule we made up.
Right.
Okay. You know, so in writing, they say once you know the rules, you know when you can break them. So you're the one who made up this rule.
And I wanted it to be seven. Yeah.
I can't even remember. Is that what we did? Did we
That's what I
compromise?
said.
We
And then you said
compromised?
nine. And then
Okay,
we
so we
said, let's go for
compromised.
eight. Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
you're absolutely adorable. Okay. So here's the thing. When you know the rules and you're the grown-up in the room, you get to make the conscious decision to extend. It's not a break. It's you've just extended the time frame, which makes sense because sometimes stuff happens. Like there's so much that you just can't control, and that's totally fine. You were out with your family and wanted dessert. That's great. I mean, in general, is being rigid fun?
No, not at all.
Okay, so if being flexible is fun, and that's how you want your son and you want people to think of you as fun and flexible versus rigid and stern. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Was it from Mean Girls? They talk about I'm not a regular mom, I'm a fun mom. Like,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Okay, so rigid, so we'll make some columns of rigid and like stern or firm, and then flexible and fun. And there's overlap. I mean, you can't be overly permissive in all of the different ways. I mean, you still need to have structure. But it doesn't need to be flexible. You need to bend in the wind. So like if you were a tree or a vine, you want that sort of flexibility to go with the flow. Otherwise you'll break.
Yeah, and I feel like
Yeah.
that's what happens is I'm not flexible and then I slip up and I break and I'm, well, I give up on that.
Okay. All right. I'll plop into your folder a 30-day challenge worksheet. And what I like about this versus using a calendar page is it's not time stamped. So there's circles and you write in the dates that you've done, and it takes as long as it takes. It has nothing to do with a calendar at all. Because these kind of like time bound, I have to do it by this date. And if I haven't, then I failed. It just does not work for
Smart
long
goals are
term.
stupid.
Yeah, because it does it doesn't create lasting change. It creates this white knuckle, I'm gonna hold my breath to get through it approach, which you've already have tons of evidence that it does not that doesn't work for you.
It does not.
Yeah. Okay. As far as it being easy to close the kitchen each night, doing that and making that decision sort of trickle into other aspects of your life?
So the first day it was fine, and then the second day I had gone out with my family, and then I realized I'm gonna set an alarm on my watch for 8 o'clock, and then I will know, and it's like bzz, 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 time, and I will lock the pantry. So that's kind of a visual so that I know that it's locked. And then I thought, you know what, I might as well brush my teeth, put my mouth guard in while I'm at it. And then I can't smoke after that because I've got my mouth guard in, and that is expensive. I don't want to ruin that. So it's making me less hours of smoking. I've cut my smoking in half by doing that.
Okay. And how has that been?
Surprisingly, my sleep is still okay. I thought that I would be tossing and turning and having a hard time, but it's fine. And I feel less like groggy in the morning. So
Okay.
that's been quite nice as well for my, because every morning when I wake up at 5 o'clock, it used to be like, oh, let's get out, we can do it, come on, let's go, let's go. But now I put my hand on my chest as soon as I wake up at 5 o'clock, and I say, today is going to be a good day, and I just get up and I do it.
Wow. The things you're doing right now, does it feel like you, or does it feel like right now you're playing a role?
Half and half. I can see my true self coming through in it, but I also feel like, who is this person walking at 5:15 in the morning? Like, that's not, that feels weird.
You're not gonna like this. But I would like for you to really not resolve to do much more than what you're doing until it feels comfortable and normal.
Okay.
And just stick at it. I will still give you homework, and I'll give you some worksheets. But as far as like swooping changes, I think what you've done is already a lot, and it'll take some time to catch up for your nervous system and your brain and your body to just kind of catch up, like, oh, this is the new normal. And I know that's not fun, and I know it's fun to do a whole bunch all at the same time. But I really want you in a few months to realize that this was the turning point, this was the tipping point, and you made a really big change. In a very short amount of time, very short amount of time. It's kind of like a light switch.
Yeah, it feels like it. Yeah.
And then as far as the cannabis, you wrote in that you're going to, instead of smoking, look more into edibles.
Yeah, I could make my own. So in like, 'cause I have a background in culinary arts. That's what I did after high school, and I'm pretty savvy when it comes to that kind of stuff. So I made a batch of brownies this time, but really I could make anything.
Okay. All right. There you go. You're going to end up with a little side hustle selling weed brownies. Weed brand. And then the binaural beats. What did you search for, and what were your thoughts on that?
Oh, I tried a bunch of different ones. My goodness. I thought, what did I write that it was like hippy dippy? Or, oh,
Yeah.
you have it here. The binaural beats are crazy cool. I seriously thought it would be a bit hippie, but my goodness, do they ever drown out the automatic negative thoughts and self-negotiation. I used to have so much self-negotiation. Like when I got out of bed every morning and I was like, do I want to go? Do I want to do this? I'm constantly in my head like, am I doing this? Am I this person? What am I doing? But you pop those things in and it's just like, wow. And it's
Yeah.
so peaceful. And I listen to ones on confidence. I listen to ones on binge eating. Some of them you can actually hear what they're saying a little bit. Sometimes you can't. I loved it. I
Look.
told people about them. I'm like, these are great.
Okay. And you're finding them on YouTube?
I found them on YouTube and I found them on Spotify.
Great. Good for you. Were there ads? Like sometimes YouTube will throw in an ad and it's kind of distracting.
I don't believe so. The only thing
Great.
about YouTube, though, was you have to leave your screen open for it to like load. I don't know. Maybe somebody more tech savvy could figure out how to not do that, but I just left my phone upside down while I had them on my headphones.
Okay. Good. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad. Okay. And then I'm really glad that your sleep has been okay, and that when you're waking up, you're feeling refreshed and not bargaining as much with yourself.
Yeah, I do the self-narration until I get the beats in. So I am like I put my hand on my chest. I will have a good day. Today will be a good day. And then I'm getting out of bed. I'm walking to the bathroom. I'm rinsing off my mouth guard. Like I talk to myself until I get those beats in, and then I'm going for my walk with the beats. And so much like why was I even there's so much self-negotiate. Why was I wasting my time with that? Like it didn't get me anywhere in the end. Not having it is so much better.
I don't know why you used to do that, but I'm glad that you're not, and I'm glad that the self narration works. And it's weird. I look at that as if I was, I don't know, like watching a play and I was the narrator, like Kelsey is getting out of bed right now. Oh, Kelsey's gonna go walk over to the sink. And but it does work because it keeps you in the here and the now. Okay, Steph here. I'm gonna pause this session. So we're at the kind of halfway part of session one. And one thing that Kelsey is talking about, and I write about in the Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose and a Hustle-Driven World book, is when you're in the middle of making a really big change in your life and it feels a little uncomfortable. And you don't exactly know what to do, a great way to interrupt a pattern is to narrate your life. So, for instance, if you wrote out a morning routine and you really want to stick to your morning routine and it's not yet a habit and you're not doing it on autopilot. So, I look at habits are things that you no longer are thinking about. Your body just sort of springs into action and it's not a decision anymore. You just go into it, same way as like, before you climb in bed, you make sure that you wash your face and brush your teeth. That's a habit. That's something that you do consistently without having to consciously think about it. But when you're in the middle of a change, I want you to consciously think about it. And one of the best ways to do that is to narrate. I am getting out of bed this morning. I'm feeling tired, but I'm going to go splash cold water on my face. Now I'm going to go make the coffee pot. So you're narrating the way an author in a story or someone watching a play would narrate. Okay. All right. As always, I think you're amazing and lovely and wonderful and kind. I'm so happy you're here and you're taking a listen to this series. I'll be back in your earbuds next week with the second part of session two with Kelsey. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.